Well, good morning to you. I trust you are doing well, and God has been so kind and good to you. If you weren't here in the business meeting last Sunday, it was announced at that time that Tom is taking a six-month sabbatical. So you're going to have to endure announcements from the rest of the elders. From my perspective, Tom is very gifted. And I just appreciate Tom so much. But during the sabbatical, please be praying for Tom and Becky. God is using them in a lot of ways, and they're being poured out before the Lord and for the Lord. And we can certainly enter into interceding on their behalfs. You at home, here's your hug. If you're here, I'd hug you. Many of you know that I'm a touchy-feely kind of guy, and I don't mind hugging. I think hugs are manly. If you disagree with me, that's okay. Do you feel blessed this morning? Do you feel blessed to have the Word of God in your hands? Do you feel blessed to be able to see the Scriptures, allow the Holy Spirit to teach you some things, illuminate areas of the Scriptures that really not only speak and bring hope to your heart and life, but just remind you of the great love that God has for you? Do you feel that blessed? Amen. We really are privileged to be able to have the complete Scriptures and be able to go back and see things and see how God has orchestrated the very details from the start to the finish. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. We're going through the book of Ruth. It's a beautiful book. Beautiful book. I'm learning more even as we go through this book. We appreciate the messages that have already been shared and the ones that are going to continue to share. And I can say that everyone that's going to be sharing through the book of Ruth is trying to guard their hearts not to share everything that's in the book. Trying not to rush ahead and trying not to go too fast, and you're trying not to, but you want to make sure that it's clear and concise and thorough and giving it honor and respect and doing what God would have you to do as you share. We don't want to miss anything, but we also know that we can go through this book right now, 10 years from now, go through it again, and God would do some neat things in all of our lives. That's the beauty of God. That's the fullness of God. That's the bigness of God. As we grow in our lives as believers, until we take our final breath, God is still growing us for His glory. He is still glorifying Himself in us as we live for Him, as we receive the grace that He gives to us to be able to live on a daily basis, gives us grace that turns our hearts to want to read the Scriptures, to meditate on the Scriptures, to memorize the Scriptures, to speak the Scriptures. It's God. And so in this book of Ruth, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you have this attitude, there has been this attitude in my own heart years ago that whenever I'd read a story in the Scriptures, I would think, wow, you know, they must really have been something for God to have penned the Scriptures about that person. If you have that attitude, you're wrong, because the message is about God. The message is about the King of Kings. The message is about the Lord of Lords. The message is about Jesus. And so the neat thing about it is God is in the process of writing his story in you. You are a living epistle. And the beauty of all that is he wants to take this and it be a living translation in us so that others can see Jesus living in us. In other words, he wants to take and give us the bread of life that it could be the nourishment so that we can then give nourishment to others spiritually. So when I read things like the book of Ruth or anything of individuals, they're people just like you and I. If you cut them, they would bleed. Okay? They have pain. They have hurts. They have needs. Everything that we look at in the scripture has got to draw us back to who God is and his working amongst the humanity. And so when I ask the question about do you feel blessed, these people are blessed just like we are blessed. Amen? Are you scratching your head wondering where I went? And I'm not trying to puff us up. By no means. I want us to see the splendor of who God is and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ as we lift him up and he's glorified. That's our goal. That's our desire. So as we read the book of Ruth, as we go through it, and I hope you're not just reading it one time. Read it over and over and over and over again. Because there's a richness to it. And as you pray for us, as we speak through the book of Ruth, there will be things that God will give you that he won't give us. But he'll also give us things together, which is awesome. So let's pray. Father, we really need you this morning. We thank you for how you have preserved the Word of God, how you have... Lord, just the words of Jesus. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, when we read your scriptures, we know that it is your word and you want us to live by it. I pray that you give us grace this morning to be able to live by it. But Lord, we ask for grace this morning that you would help us to understand. I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to teach us the things that we need to learn right where we're at in our lives. Lord, 100 people here, each one of us are at a different place. You alone can meet us right there. And we're so grateful for your ability to do that because that's how big and wonderful you are. Lord, please do something this morning. Let us be able to take from the text this morning, enter into our lives. May we be changed for your glory. Thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. Thank you that you glorify yourself in us. Even though we don't deserve it and we're not worthy. But you have made us worthy. And we are grateful. Thank you for allowing us to be blessed. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Please open up your word to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you would, turn your Bible over to Ruth. It's a little book that happens to be just before the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. It's funny that the Bible that I have right here, the pages are so thin that it's really on 4 pages. And I'm finding it, and I'm coming to Judges and going to Samuel. I'm sure it's in here. I'm sure they didn't rip it out of my Bible. And they have, and I'm just... But that's how thin these pages are. And as I get older, sometimes things are hard to find. I'm sure none of you have a problem with that. So, Ruth, we're going to read the whole chapter and then go from there. I may make a couple comments as we go, but we're going to try and focus on verse 14 and going to the end of the chapter. And then Dick will be following up next week, and then Scott, and then Mark. So, verse 1, chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she sent out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz from Bethlehem. Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and have come to the people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. She ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed the young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some of the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. and she lived with her mother-in-law. In your life, have you ever been a place, and I think there's possibly moments, and as we go in life, it's going to occasionally happen, but have you ever been in a place where you really wonder what God's doing? Have you ever just scratched your head and you say, okay, Lord, I need to see you here. I need to see you in this. I need to know what's going on. And have you ever been in a place where you've been faced with a situation and you wonder if the Lord's even in it? Or maybe you're like Naomi, who blamed God for taking your husband and sons. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Have you ever, and I've been guilty of this, not lately, early in my Christian life, have you ever looked at God and said, He's doing this because He's judging me, His judgment's upon me? Or almost want to shake your fist up and say, why are you doing this? Now, perhaps you're in a situation that it just seems dark and you don't see any light whatsoever around you. Can you imagine Naomi and her daughter-in-laws? Naomi's over in a country that's about 50 miles from where she was at, from Bethlehem, where she had, in some sense, family relationships. All of a sudden, her husband, her rock, the individual whom she was one with, is gone. And then all of a sudden, her sons are gone, and she's left with two daughter-in-laws. Seems pretty dark, doesn't it? A dark place. Possibly appears hopeless. And yet you're in a place where you are lacking understanding. You feel all alone. And yet she had her daughter-in-laws there. When they come back, and of course she encourages her daughter-in-laws to stay, go back to your homes. We have two daughter-in-laws. Wonderful daughter-in-laws. And I don't say that because one of their parents is here. We have two wonderful daughter-in-laws. I could not have handpicked these two girls for my sons better than God did. That's how highly I think of these girls. Those two girls do not have the relationship with my wife the way my daughter does. Even though that those two daughter-in-laws love my wife dearly, there's a different relationship there. So for God to have put in the heart of Ruth, for her to proclaim and declare what she said, and to give a commitment to Naomi, and to go 50 miles away from the homeland, away from the place she was raised, is a work of God. It's a transformed heart. And Ruth declares that. Your God will be my God. Even amidst that, Naomi is still experiencing some loneliness and darkness. When they come into Bethlehem, what does she say? Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Call me bitter. And so there's a darkness in her life. There's a hopelessness in her life that she's not experiencing. We begin to read in this chapter the things that have taken place. And I love the text when it says that Ruth just happened to fall and go to Boaz's. Believe it or not, there are things that just happened in your life that God's got all under control. Perhaps you're feeling, and let's turn, I'm not going to ask you to turn here. Just listen to me. So please don't turn to the text, because you're going to read a lot into this. Perhaps you feel like Job. In fact, I'm just going to say it, so I'm not going to tell you where it's at. Okay? I'll tell you later because I'm going to come back to it. Perhaps you felt like Job. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. Perhaps you feel like that at times, just like Job did. I see that in this chapter. They're just, the ladies are moving back to Bethlehem. They're going to live. Well, what hope is there? What is forward for us? What's going to happen a month? What's going to happen 6 months? What's going to happen a year from now? What's going to take place? What's going on in your life that you just have no idea how to deal with, or the situation that you're faced with right now that seems to be so big or so heavy or so large that you feel hopeless? Those are the moments we've got to cry out to the Lord. We got to go to the anchor of our souls, the one who has saved us, and know that he's trustworthy and that he has this best at heart for us. It's so important for us to see the things in scriptures that God has a plan and he truly, truly, truly knows what's best for us. And I hate to say it, there are times I think I know what's better for me. Satan wants to trip me up and say, yeah, you're doing a pretty good job, or no, you can do, no, you don't have to. Or I depend upon my own understanding and not the wisdom of Christ. It's in those times as we read the scriptures here, God wants us to begin to look at our own hearts and make it very personal to us. I've told you before, as I read this, I want God to give me the sights, the sounds, the smells, the feelings, the emotions of the text so I can get a glimpse of it. Now, I've not lost my wife. I've lost my parents. But some of you have lost your mates. And there's a deep hurt there, a deep longing, a pain that I can't relate to at this point in my life. But Jesus can. And he cares. There's a longing of in our own hearts to be able to see in the scriptures, and how could God just bring this and really minister to the needs of my own heart and really, really show us how much he cares. He's there. He will. He wants to. He loves us. He loves us. But you have the enemy who's lying to you and saying that's not true. So we see in verse 14, the beauty. Let me back up here before I say verse 14. As we look at this text, I have to look at the whole book of Ruth now in through the lenses of the New Testament and look at Boaz as a type of Christ. So when I see all his actions and all that he does comes from the heart of Christ and a great love that he has for those around him. And as I look at that, I look at Ruth and I'm looking at her as a type of the bride of Christ. Because I'm the bride of Christ, and things that are taking place in this scripture, how does it relate to my own life? So I'm able to see in verse 14 when Boaz says, come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. We just experienced, and I appreciated so much what Mark said, the Lord desires fellowship with us. Do you know what? Boaz is inviting Ruth, just as Christ invites us, to come and have fellowship with him. He invites us. It's a personal invitation. And he wants that to take place. As he shows kindness to Ruth, what is the first thing that she does? She bows before Boaz and humbles herself. It says, I don't deserve this. If you're a born again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a spirit of humility in your heart that needs to be there, that you do not deserve salvation. If you think you deserve it, you think very highly of yourself and are missing who Jesus really is. We have got to humble ourselves and bow ourselves and say, Lord, I do not deserve this. I don't. When I ask you if you're blessed of the Lord, do you deserve that? No, we don't. We deserve hell because we violate the very ways of God. And yet, of the great mercy of God, we don't get what we deserve. And he pours his grace upon us. Everything that you see Boaz responds to with Ruth, you'll see it motivated by grace. Comes out of a heart of who God has created him to be. And when you, let me back up here, because I don't want to imply that Jesus Christ is created. He's not created. He is God in the flesh. Boaz is a type. He's not the perfect form. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as he reaches out to Ruth. And even to his own employees, what did he say to them? The Lord bless you. And they in turn, the Lord bless you as well. We're able to see in this text in verses 14 to the end of the chapter that Jesus is willing, as Boaz met the needs of Ruth, he actually gave an abundance to meet the needs. And yet invited her to a place to have a meal with him, gave her food to the point where she was fully satisfied. Do you know that the fellowship that we enter into with the Lord Jesus Christ is fully satisfying? And it needs to be satisfying. And usually when it's not satisfying, it's usually because I've got sin in my life. Or there's some distraction that's taking place to where I just won't or can't enter in with the Lord. Or I'm allowing the enemy to speak lies to me. Has God said? He doesn't want to have fellowship with you. You're too. We see Jesus meeting the needs. We see Boaz telling and instructing here. Do you know how much an ephah of barley is? An ephah of barley is about 50 pounds. Can you imagine Ruth carrying 50 pounds of grain back to Naomi? How long would it take to gather 50 pounds of barley? How big of an area do you have to go to gather that much barley? Today's farmers can get about 70 bushels to an acre. But do you know that they have such a science to it? That they're connected to satellites, that as they are in their planters and they go over these hills, that these planters know where to plant more seed versus less seed because they're connected. That's not the case in this time. When they sowed seed, they grabbed the seed and they threw it and they threw it and they threw it and it would grow. We are so detailed in our society that they've got to be in rows. I'm not sure that's the case in scripture times. And so to gather all these stalks, And you, if you've never had a chance to go out into a wheat field or a barley field in the springtime when they happen to be coming up just before they began to turn golden waves of grain, go out there and take a look and witness and see how many heads are on one of those stalks and how much you'd have to gather and put to and begin to beat down the to get rid of the chaff. And how many pieces of barley that fall and how much chaff is there and how long it takes. We're talking about a woman who was very diligent in her working and her laboring. And she stuck at it. She stayed forward at it. And yet the mercy of God through the heart of Boaz says, because he knew. He knew what it took. He knew that it would take a lot to satisfy or take care of Ruth and Naomi. So my wife and I live on an acre of land. It's not a lot. And if you give 70 bushels today, I couldn't find anything that would communicate what the Bible times would say, how much you get, how many bushels you get at that time. But when you start talking about a bushel of barley, it's a lot of barley. A lot of barley. And it's not a 10-minute process. It's an all-day process. It's an all-evening process. This is showing you how much love Ruth loved Naomi. It's showing you a heart that has totally been changed as she would begin to take care of somebody else. We can see that in the scriptures here. The heart that Ruth had was such of love for her. When she declared, "Your people will be my people. Wherever you go, I will go. In fact, the only thing that's going to separate us is death." That's genuine love right there. Genuine love. We see in this text here, Boaz had such a heart to protect Ruth. "I want you to stay in my field. I have instructed my young men to care for you. Don't go anywhere else. You stay here." What love. What love that we can see that Jesus has for us, that he protects us and cares for us. We're talking about a man, Boaz, who's only heard about Ruth. And it appears that he's not only going a mile, but he's going an extra mile. He's going over and above to a foreigner whom is not even part of the clan. Not a Bethlehemite. It's a Moabite. It's somebody who came from the outside and has come in. And then we can see in this text the importance of God giving us strength to care for one another, care for others who have no strength of themselves. The beauty that I saw in this chapter here is when she, Ruth, just nonchalantly says, "I'm in a field with a guy by the name of Boaz." Can you imagine the warming of Naomi's heart? Can you imagine the breaking down of bitterness, knowing that hope is being stirred in her soul? That there's a possibility of some good things to take place down the road in her life. That possibly there might be hope for Boaz or maybe Ruth being able to be married. You know, we are so blessed to be able to look back and see the connections or the trail of how it all fits up to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very first chapter in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, speaks of five women who are identified in the lineage of Christ. And Ruth is one of them. That's amazing. Because women were not considered to be individuals counted for. That would be have identification in the lineage. And yet God, through the penning of His Word, puts Ruth there along with four other women. So when you begin to think of the warming in Naomi's heart, in verse 20, 19, the end of the verse says, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Kind of almost, his name is Boaz. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." God wants in us, to create in us, to have such a heart of compassion that we are concerned with those that are around us, that He brings into our lives. I'm so guilty, and I'm almost ashamed to say this, but there are times when I am so busy on my agenda that I am neglecting sometimes those who are around me. And what I mean by that is whether I'm pumping gas or whether I'm at the grocery store or whether I'm going to the store to purchase something, the person on the other side of the counter, what are they going through? I'm going to throw a plug out here for Grief Share. Chris and I are attending Grief Share this year, this session around. It has been so good for me. It has been good for me to be able to see things that have been taking place in my own heart through the death of my loved ones. But it has also been good for me to consider the needs of others, but also what others are going through that I have no clue. And so when you hear the heart of those who are hurting, it's amazing how there's a connectedness of compassion that takes place and a hurting that begins to go in you because somebody else is hurting. God wants to create in us a heart of compassion that only Jesus can create in us. And that is looking out to others that are around us and being considerate and knowing that others are going through things that we have no clue about. No clue about. If there's 100 people here, every one of us is going through something. Every one of us is going through something. Some of us can be the same, and some so far from each other. And yet the beauty of how big God is able to take care of every one of us at the same time that we're faced with. He can. And that's what I love about the Lord. So we're going to close here. We're going to close with two things, a couple things actually. What's our takeaways? What is our takeaways from this chapter? Say, okay, John, what are they? I have some. But let me go back to the Job thing first. It's Job chapter 23. You can turn there now. Some of you may have already done it. Job chapter 23, verse 8. Job says, one thing that I didn't want you to see, and you'll see it. Job says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I do not perceive him." And Job's speaking of God. "On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. when he turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. Verse 10, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. Wow. What hope. What confidence. What assurance God wants to stir in us so that we can see him, that as we go, whatever we go, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. That's a promise that God has given us. And we need to be able to look at the scriptures and hold on to the promises that God has given us. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we begin to take the scriptures and we make them our own, so in those moments of difficult times that we face and quote the scriptures, the hope can be stirred up in us because God allows his word to become alive in us. And it's, what is it? It's fresh. It's God breathed. All scriptures is given by God and is given by inspiration. It's breathed by the mouth of God for us so that it give us life. We shall come out as gold. So what are some of our takeaways? God is at work when we cannot see him. God's at work. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. God is at work all the time. We just got a text just before I came up to preach. We were praying for a young man yesterday who was in a coma. He's out of that coma. That's a work of God. You know what? I laid my head down at 10 o'clock last night. I got up at 4:30 this morning. God was still working. I rest. I slept. God was still working. So God is at work when we cannot see him. God is at work when we work. In the very essence that we need to do the next thing in our life, whatever that might be, and Ruth, for her, was to go out. It was the time to glean. Provided an opportunity for them to go get life-sustaining food. Glean in the fields. That's the next thing. All right, I gleaned. What's the next thing? Thrash the wheat. Thrash the barley. What's the next thing? Go home and give some to my mother-in-law. What's the next thing? God's at work when we work. God's at work when we just happened upon this field. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And then, what do we have? We have to have his promises in our hearts. We need the word of God in our lives. We need it. It will keep us from sin. It will keep us from evil. It will keep us encouraged. It will give us hope. It will give us life. And it will give us, God will give it to us so we can give to others of the work that God has done in our lives. So let me read this song to you. And then we'll have the worship team, thank you. So this song was written back, right around 2000. And it's, you might know the words. I'm not going to sing it to you. You'll be disappointed. So, all things work for our good, though sometimes we can't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just can't see Him, remember you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. He sees the master plan. He holds the future in His hand. So don't live as those who have no hope. Our hope is found in Him. We see the present clearly, but He sees the first and the last. And like a tapestry, He's weaving you and me to someday be just like Him. He alone is faithful and true. He alone knows what's best for you. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. When you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. Let's pray. Lord, You certainly are trustworthy, and our hope is in You. And we're so grateful for the life of Ruth and Naomi, and how You raised up Boaz, and how You've used him in a mighty way. And Lord, thank You for allowing us to have a glimpse and how You have worked throughout the Word of God, and know that You use these people to bring forth in the lineage of Christ that through even their loins our Savior was born. We thank You for that. But Lord, now we just look to You, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who is able to perfect our lives. We just look to You to be able to accomplish things in us that we ourselves cannot accomplish. We pray that You change us. We pray that You conform us to the image of Jesus. We give You honor and glory. And Lord, please help us to trust Your heart. Help us to see You in ways that with confidence we know that You're working us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.